Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, surprising you with new topics every single week and jabbing you with your daily dose of UFC, and we are fresh off of UFC 303, another banger of a pay-per-view. There were some interesting things on this card, which I certainly am ready to dive into. I almost want to start this episode by talking about UFC 303, but that will be the main event, the final thing we discuss on today's episode. Also on today's episode, episode 101, that's right, we are in the hundreds now. Absolutely incredible. It was an amazing time recording episode 100. I received so much support from just everyone when I made an announcement about dropping it. So thank you again to everyone. It is just, it's fun. It's fun doing this. It's amazing getting feedback. And I'm always happy to get critiques, get support. I'm always here for it. But for today's episode, going to be talking about some new UFC fights, of course, as well looking at the NBA draft. That's right, the NBA draft happened. That snuck up on us. Dropping our Money in the Bank predictions for WWE, of course, another WWE PLE, a premium live event. And your surprise topic for this episode is we will be looking at the book, The Four Agreements, A Path to Freedom. And it was an amazing book. I took so many notes. I don't know if we're going to get to all my notes or how long it's going to take to discuss it, but we will be talking about that book, of course, and as well UFC 303, as I've mentioned. I'm jonesing to talk about that, so let's not waste any time. Let's get your week started out good with a little episode of the Surprise Jab Podcast. So kicking us off, some new UFC news, and unfortunately, the UFC Denver main event was canceled. Rose Namajunas will no longer be taking on Macy Barber. Instead, stepping in on short notice will be the number 11 ranked flyweight Tracy Cortez, who is 5-0 in the UFC, 11-1 professionally, and of course the ex-girlfriend of Brian Ortega, which we're going to talk about pulling out with Brian Ortega later on the card. But Rose Namajunas, Tracy Cortez, new main event. There's no UFC this upcoming week, so there'll only be one episode this week, which of course is unfortunate, but you know, 4th of July holiday, no UFC fights. However, after that we go to Denver, Colorado for a main event. Rose Namajunas, Tracy Cortez, is it good? No. Will I watch it? Maybe. So I'm going to say that. Well, is it good? No. Will I watch it? Maybe. Other than that, bunch of other fights to talk about. Let's get right into it. For starters, our first one, Vyacheslav Borshev is back in action against James Lontop. Actually, I feel like I already discussed that one on the last episode for some reason. I'm actually going to skip that one. It's of lesser importance. Where's a good one? Here we go. Here's some good ones. Just announced 4 days ago, UFC Vegas 97 going down on September 7th. Wow, we're almost at 100 UFC Apex events. The number five ranked, what is this in? Women's flyweight, number five ranked woman, Jessica Andrade, will be taking on the number 8 ranked Natalia Silva. Natalia Silva 5-0 in the UFC, coming off a big win over Viviana Rujo. Happy to see her back in action. And as for Jessica Andrade, I mean, an absolute killer, coming off a win over Marina Rodriguez at UFC 300. Lover, supporter. That should be a good fight. I'd rather see that as a women's main event than Rose Namajunas versus Tracy Cortez, if I'm being honest. But I don't make the decisions. I'm just a viewer. You know, maybe that could be my goal. Become a UFC matchmaker. I can make the matchups all the fans want to see. Going down at UFC 304, July 27th in the UK, Manchester, England. Middleweight fight between Christian Leroy Duncan and Gregory Rodriguez. Gregory Rodriguez was supposed to be fighting, I believe, at UFC 305, but instead he'll be stepping out on short notice to replace Robert Brzezinski against Christian Leroy Duncan. Christian Leroy Duncan, 10-1 professionally, 3-1 in the UFC, coming off a big win over Claudio Ribeiro. He takes on Gregory RoboCop Rodriguez, also known as Violent Obama. This guy has so many nicknames, and he's fresh off a win over, I believe it was either Brad Tavares or Jun Young Park, one of those two men. And knockout power coming from both sides. I'm excited for that one. Should be a prelim banger when that one takes place. Another fight announced. UFC Vegas 96 going down August 34th. Bruno Hulk Ferreira, who's 3-1 in the UFC with 3 knockouts, will be taking on none other than Roman Coppola, 4-3 in the UFC with 4 knockouts. How about that? Roman Coppola's biggest win, I'd say, is probably over Claudio Ribeiro or Punahele Soriano. However, for Bruno Ferreira, I mean, win over Gregory Rodriguez, who we just mentioned. He just knocked out Dustin Stolfus. This should be a good one in the men's middleweight division, and like I said, middleweight is one of those divisions where you get so many good unranked talents. These guys are both knockout artists. I really doubt we're going to see any grappling. However, we did see Roman Kopilov grappling his last opponent on short notice, but I hope that doesn't take place. Another fight going down on that UFC Vegas 96 card, August 24th. fourth. Edmund, the Golden Boy Shabazi, and he's back. He's back. The Golden Boy is finally back, and he takes on Gerald Meerschaert. Another middleweight matchup, and Gerald Meerschaert, 35-17. Edmund Shabazi, 13-4. It's just crazy. It's crazy where these guys are both coming from. And Edmund Shabazi saved his job with a win over AJ Dobson not too long ago. As for Gerald Meerschaert, I believe he picked up a win over Brian Barberina last time out. I hate this for Edmund because he's a striker. Gerald's a grappler. But I'm really hoping Edmund can get done, but I don't know. Gerald has, I think, some of the most submissions in the UFC's middleweight division. He's so talented. He's entertaining to watch. We'll see how that transpires. Another fight announced, UFC Vegas 97 this time, September 7th, that's going down. The number 12-ranked flyweight, Matt Danger Snell, will take on the unranked Alessandro No-No Costa. Alessandro is 2-2 with wins over Jimmy Flick and Kevin Borjas. And as for Matt Snell, I mean, he's been in the mix. He's taken on a who's who of the ranked opponents. He does hold wins over Sumadarji, Tyson Nam, Luis Moga, some nice knockouts in there. He was just put out cold, not but a couple months ago, by Steve Ersig. Alessandro Costa, meanwhile, it was TKO and Kevin Borjas. Should be an interesting matchup. I will probably ride with Alessandro Costa. Also made official for UFC 305, the man we just mentioned, Steve Ersig, the number 9-ranked flyweight, will be back in action against the number 4 flyweight. He's been out for a year. He returns in front of his hometown in Perth, Australia, Kai Kara France. Don't blink is his nickname. 24-11. Gosh, he's had so many fights. 12-2 for Steve Ersig. Both of these guys are knockout artists. I like both of these guys. This should be very entertaining. You could argue Kai Kara France did not lose to Miro Bazzi last July. That was actually, I believe, the second card we ever looked at, something like that. But I don't even know what it is. I'm excited to see that matchup. That's going to be a banger. A couple other fights announced for UFC 305. A heavyweight fight between Junior Taffa and Valter Walker. Junior Taffa, the younger brother of Justin Taffa. And Valter Walker, the, I believe, younger brother of Johnny Walker. Junior Taffa is 5-2. You know, he's coming off a tough loss. Coming off a tough loss to Marcos Rogério de Lima. He took that fight on short notice. Shout out to him for taking that fight, but unfortunately got his leg beat up in that one. Junior will be back, though, against the 11-1 Valter Walker. Suffered a tough loss last time out to Lucas Brazier. Got out grappled. But hey, you know, 11-0 coming from that European scene. We'll see how these guys do. Another banger coming down on the UFC 305 prelims in Australia. Jack Jenkins, 12-3 professionally, 2-1 in the UFC. Takes on 13-3, 4-3 in the UFC. Gavin Tucker. These are two really good unranked featherweights. I definitely get the vibe where one of these guys loses, they might be on the brink of being kicked out of the UFC. Whereas for the winner, they'll be in a good position to stay. Final fight announced for UFC 305 in the featherweight division, staying in the featherweight division, Josh Koulibaly, who picked up a big win over, I believe it was Shailene Nurdambeek last time out, takes on Ricardo Ramos, I mean, he's another hit or miss guy. Both of these guys have gotten knockouts, they've gotten submissions. It's whoever shows up will be the deciding factor for whoever does best. It's a toss-up between those guys, good unranked contenders. That should be a good fight on the prelims. And I wasn't really going to mention this fight, but I do want to touch on this. A woman's bantamweight title fight, my bad. Actually, fun fact, a woman's title fight between Raquel Pennington and Julia Pena is rumored to be going down at a UFC 307 or something in October. Apparently that's going down. Julia Pena is somehow still the number one contender, even though she hasn't fought since she lost Amanda Nunes badly 2 years ago. No idea what's going on with that, but unranked women's bantamweight action between Josiane Nunez and Jacqueline Cavalcante. Josiane Nunez, who is 3-1 in the UFC, 10-2, not even ranked, was added to UFC EA Sports 5 for no reason. I was fairly perplexed by that, to say the least. I was so confused. I was like, why are we adding, what's her freaking face? I can't remember. Josiane Nunez. Why are we adding her into the game? She does nothing. She serves no purpose. And I was fairly perplexed by that decision. But you know what? It happens. A lot of fun fights coming at us rather sooner than later. Exciting stuff. When it comes to new news, there's been a lot of new things going on recently. One of them was the NBA draft. And the NBA draft went down, I believe it was Wednesday and Thursday. It was a two-night event. And we had some interesting draftees, some interesting things. So let's kind of analyze some of the top picks. First off, let's look at the top five. Top five picks. I know it's usually the top 10, but the number one pick this year was Zachary Risarchar, who plays overseas. The Atlanta Hawks drafted him. He is 6'9", 215 pounds. It's crazy. He's actually younger than me. He was born in 2005. 6'8", rangy wingspan. I don't even know his position. He's a forward. I don't know anything about this guy. Apparently, he's talented. I assume if you're being drafted number one overall, you're talented. But don't know much about him. Same goes for the Wizards draft pick coming out of Perth, Alex Saar. Larry plays in the Australian League. He, cool guy. Cool guy. 7 feet tall, 224 pounds, born in 2005. I mean, dude's a unit. Dude's a unit. But like I said, I don't know much about him. Number three, though, Rockets drafting Reed Sheppard from Kentucky, white boy shooter. I remember he was being held back by John Calipari in Kentucky. Okay, John was holding him back. Reed Sheppard was a shooter. He was a dog and had one of the best three-point percentages, if not the best, out of college basketball last season. Excited to see how he does on the Rockets, as the Rockets actually just lost Kevin Porter Jr. to, I think it was the Clippers. There was a couple signings today. Klay Thompson signed with the Mavericks, probably the biggest one. How about that? Klay Thompson, Kyrie Irving, Luka Doncic, they're coming for the title next year. Number four, Stephon Castle, the senior from UConn, is now on the Spurs. That just fits to me. Stephon Castle, two-time UConn champion, two-time March Madness champion, joined the San Antonio Spurs. A little winning mindset there in San Antonio. Good for him. And number five, Ron Holland from the G League Ignite. Yeah, the G League, you know, entertain guy, Ron Holland. He's talented, young up-and-comer. I recognize his name. Other than that, not too much. Hornets draft a guy from overseas called Tidajane Salun. Trailblazers draft Donovan Clingan, the star center from Connecticut, UConn. He should fit right in you know, the Trailblazers organization. But Portland, not the most ideal landing spot right now. They don't got CJ McCollum anymore. They don't got Damian Lillard. They're bottom of the barrel. But the most shocking moment, probably in the draft, I'd say, was that the Minnesota Timberwolves, my Minnesota Timberwolves, traded up with the Spurs for their number eight pick, and they landed Rob Dillingham from Kentucky. At one point, Rob Dillingham was a top three pick. Okay, another guy held back by John Calipari, was only averaging 24 minutes as a starter the whole season. So excited to have him on this team. He's supposed to be Mike Conley's protege, learned from Anthony Edwards. I'm so hyped. We have Rob Dillingham. I know that guy. Very cool. Number nine, the Grizzlies take Zach Edey. I can just see Zach Edey in a Memphis jersey, okay? Zach Edey, the 7'4" giant from Purdue. Cool guy. Good for him. Enjoy it. Number 10, Cody Williams from Colorado goes to the Utah Jazz. Seems fitting. You know, they're in need of a small forward over there in Utah. And Cody Williams will fit right in. If Cody Williams is even a small forward, he is a small forward. 6'7", 178 pounds, that's that build. I think that's a build of a small forward. I mean, ain't no LeBron, let me tell you that. Number 11, Bulls take Matas Buzeles from the G League. Thunder draft Nikola Topic from overseas. Kings draft Devin Carter from Providence. Providence, get a little draft pick in here. Trailblazers draft Bob Carrington from Pittsburgh. He ended up being traded to the Wizards. Jared McCain from Duke was projected to go to the 76ers, exactly where he lands. Just seems fitting. Jared McCain will fit right in with the 76ers, who actually, this may top Klay Thompson. Paul George signed a massive deal with the 76ers. 76ers looking to make a little run to the NBA Finals. We'll see, though. I mean, Paul George is going to be a dirty duo with Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. And hey, now you got Jared McCain. Number 17, the Lakers drafted Dalton Kanek from Tennessee. Love that pick. He is so talented. He is one of those guys where, like, you see him out there, you know he's good. Just wasn't getting the recognition that he deserved. But shout out to Dalton Kanek. Going to be LeBron's backup. How about that? You're going to be on the bench next to a LeBron sperm, if you will. We'll talk about that in just a second. No one's going to get that reference, which is going to make it even weirder. The Suns drafted Ron Holmes from Dayton. He ended up being traded to the Nuggets. Very good player. Any other notable ones? A lot of overseas guys, if I'm being honest. End of the first round, Timberwolves drafted Terrence Shannon Jr., star point guard from Illinois. That is right. Bet two out of two on picks for this draft. Timberwolves were on fire. I'm happy with Terrence Shannon Jr., and I'm happy with Rob Dillingham. I freaking love it. And the final pick of the first round, I don't even understand how he fell to them. Baylor Sherman from Creighton, the star center, somehow lands on the Celtics. Celtics getting a big guy. Actually, Baylor is only 6'6". I think I'm thinking of the wrong guy. Baylor Scheinman is a guard. Who am I thinking of, guys? Who am I thinking of? I'm thinking of someone else from Creighton. They had a really tall player. It ain't Baylor Scheinman, but Baylor Scheinman's a guard, so good for him. Gosh, I was thinking of the wrong player. I don't know who I was thinking of. Kicking off the second round, we go to the number 32 pick as the Jazz land Kyle Filipowski from Duke. Good for Kyle. The Trailblazers land Tyler Kolek from Marquette. Ends up being traded to the Knicks. Another good player whose name I recognize. Other assortment of players, but I think actually Jamal Sheed landed on the Raptors, was drafted by the Kings, traded to the Raptors. Jamal Sheed played on Houston for the longest time. Oh my goodness, he set so many records there for scoring. And I think he only lost like 6 games in 4 years with that team. Incredible. Number 46, another person I'll keep touching on. Cam Christie from Minnesota. A little shooting guard action from Minnesota. Love the U of M. My girlfriend goes there, Lexi Morley. And fun times. Number 47, the Magic draft Antonio Reeves from Kentucky. He's then traded to the Pelicans. Kentucky showing out. All their star players getting drafted. Good for them, man. Good for them. Tristan Newton drafted the Pacers at 49. He was on that UConn team. I recognize his name. Cam Spencer from Connecticut. Traded to the Memphis Grizzlies. Good for them. And that brings us to the big pick that I think everyone's talking about. Pick number 55. They actually used the pick on him. The Los Angeles Lakers signed Bronny James. I can't believe they actually pulled the trigger and drafted Bronny James. I'm fairly surprised. I did not see them going that route. Not to be a little judgmental Judy here, but I don't know if Bronny James is NBA ready. It is crazy that LeBron's son is on his team. That was a little sperm thing I said earlier. Very weird. I saw it on Instagram Reels. I thought it was hilarious, but absolutely crazy. LeBron is playing with a guy that came from his nutsack. I mean, it's just weird. It's just, you never see a father playing with his son. Maybe in, I don't even know what, but certainly not in the NBA. This will never be done before. History will be made when Bronny James takes the court as his dad. They're going to try and do it as soon as possible, I bet. Congratulations, Sumo. Going to get a bag of money. And congratulations to all the players. Incredible stuff in the NBA draft. And I recognized a lot of names. I'll tell you some other names that I recognize. And that was the star actors of A Quiet Place Day One. That's right. I went to the movies. We made a little movies trip, ladies and gentlemen. Went with good old Lexi. And we saw A Quiet Place Day One. So here's your official movie review of A Quiet Place Day One. Right now sitting with an 85% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 6.8 out of 10 on IMDb.com. Of course, it is a prequel, but the third film in the franchise that is A Quiet Place, John Krasinski's dream that he created. It stars Joseph Quinn as Eric, Lupita Nyong'o as Sam, Dijomin Hansu as Henry, and Alex Wolff as Ruben. Spoiler alerts for stuff that occurs in this film. Alex Wolff, of course, kind of a secondary character getting killed early on. Dijomin Hansu, actually, I should probably tell you who some of these guys are. Dijomin, I believe he's most notable. I mean, he was in the second A Quiet Place. He's been in Never Back Down. He was in the Rebel Moon movies. He was in Gladiator. I mean, he was in Gran Turismo. He was the dad in Gran Turismo. He's been in the MCU. He was like Ronan's helping hand, if you will, or whatever. Been in a lot of things. He's a great actor. Absolutely love Dijomin Hansu. And as for Joseph Quinn, of course, Eddie from Stranger Things, I think he's actually going to be in the new Gladiator 2 movie dropping soon. Alex Wolff, who played kind of this like caretaker, he passed. Most notable for Hereditary. He was also in Jumanji, both the Jumanji movies. He was in Patriot's Day with Mark Wahlberg, Oppenheimer, I mean, Pig, Old. A lot of movies this guy's been in. And Lupita Nyong'o taking the star stage. She's the star of this movie right next to a Joseph Quinn. And she was, of course, in Black Panther. She was T'Challa's love interest, actually. She was also in Us, 12 Years a Slave. She's actually in both Black Panthers. I think she's T'Challa's son's mother. Actually, she was also in The 355. I recognize that movie title. Star Wars The Force Awakens, The Woman King. Gosh, she's been in a lot of movies, but very good film. Do I think it's better than the other two? I actually don't. I do have some thoughts on this film. And it all kind of boils down to the creatures. So, of course, these aliens, anything that makes sound, they have to kill the humans. And the film takes place in New York and kind of pictures like what happened on day one when they arrived. And they started taking everyone out in New York. But a perfect thing that the first two films did was make these creatures very ominous. Their stage presence was very limited, which made them very ominous. And in this film, you know, I feel like they wanted to kind of give the audience justification of seeing more of these monsters. And it was the first day. This was day one, so a lot has changed since then in the world of A Quiet Place. But I just feel the aura of the monsters wasn't all there, because I knew Like, there was a cat in the film. I think the cat was, like, the fifth main character. And sometimes you thought the cat was going to die. There was kind of that. But you never really thought that the two main characters were going to die. But one interesting dynamic was that Sam, who's played by Lupita in this film, she has cancer. So that's a big thing in this film, is that, you know, as much as this is day one of the monsters arriving, this is kind of her final days. And the whole plot of the film is her and Joseph Quinn, whose name is Eric in the film, and they're trying to get to this old jazz club or this pizza spot where her dad used to go. Her dad died of cancer as well. And that's kind of the whole theme of the film. She has her cat with her. And, you know, there's some cool moments in the film, you know, some suspenseful moments. And it was good. It was good. I give it a 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10 film. Of course, I don't really throw around high rankings all the time. I'm very judged. I judge for that heavily. But, I mean, it kind of ended on a sour note. Spoiler alert. You know, she doesn't really sacrifice herself, but she creates a distraction so Joseph Quinn can escape. And he gets on this boat because the National Guard kind of learned, hey, the monsters can't swim. We'll evacuate everyone by boat. And Joseph Quinn swims out to a boat, and he's saved by, of course, the guy from the other movies we were talking about, who's in The Quiet Place Part 2. And she kind of just takes one last look around town. You know, she's listening to jazz on her headphones, and the movie ends with her pulling her, you know, her headphones out of the speaker she's on, and the music starts playing, and a monster crashes down right behind her, and it cuts to black. You kind of accept that she's, you know, dead, but it's kind of like she's kind of lived out everything she had to in her life, and, you know, she's letting the cancer take her, and she's accepting the monsters are going to get her. It's kind of emotional, kind of sad, but a good film. Only an hour and 39, you know, with some credits. It could have been like an hour and a half, so an easy watch. It does make me want more of the Quiet Place universe. It makes me want to rewatch the first two films, most definitely. And there's much more to come. More prequels, spinoff shows, a part three, part four, who knows. But decent film. Decent film for A Quiet Place. There's just not much to really say about it. Like I said, I mean, you're introduced to Joseph Quinn's character like 30, 40 minutes into the film. So like halfway through. And he's kind of like a wimp in this film, which is just kind of odd. But, you know, it's essentially they can walk around wherever they want as long as they're quiet. You know, it's just once you make some noise, you almost die. There were some intense scenes, some scenes you're kind of like, oh, are they going to die? Are they not? But overall, you know, a 7 out of 10, I think, is very valid for this film. And 85% on Rotten Tomatoes, though, so that should kind of speak to how good this film is. I encourage everyone to go watch it. Very, very good. Very good acting. I'll say that, you know, sometimes with these films, you question, hey, are the actors really the characters? Or are they just their actor? And I felt them as characters, not as actors. So props to them. Speaking of actors, there's this thing called WWE, which I occasionally check on. Pretty much I get everything through my Instagram, but they have another live performance event going out at the Scotiabank Arena in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and it's Money in the Bank, which is kind of their third or fourth biggest event of the year, and this one's going to be good. This one is going to be good. Of course, five matches. There's five matches every single time now. This new thing implemented by Triple H, and of those five matches, let's check out all five of them, give my thoughts on them, and drop my predictions. I don't think you can actually bet on the WWE since it's scripted, but I mean, you can always come back and look and go, hey, did Zach get this prediction right? And I can go, yes, I did. And there you go. So, kicking us off, which I'm going to assume this is what will kick off the night. I'm hoping this will be what kicks off the night. But the women's Money in the Bank ladder match, Io Sky, former women's champion, Chelsea Green, I think she was a tag team champion, Lyra Valkyria, I think she's Scottish, Tiffany Stratton, the next big thing, and Naomi, plus another contender, which I think will be announced like the day before. Women's Money in the Bank, essentially a Money in the Bank. These superstars, they climb up, they get this briefcase. Whoever gets it can cash it in for a title shot at any moment, any time. Very fun. It's a very fun item that WWE has added to their repertoire. As far as this goes, I mean, I definitely don't see Lyra Valkyria or Chelsea Green winning. Io Sky, I think, has had her time. I think that that's going to be kind of it for her. Naomi, they might give it to her, but I think she's kind of, no, I think she's got past her prime. I'm going to give it to Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany Stratton is kind of one of the next big things right now. Been with the WWE 3 years now, former NXT Women's Champion. She's been earning her keep, and I think it's finally time that they give her a Women's Championship match, especially winning Money in the Bank. Plus, you know, she's good-looking, draws in those viewers for that market. She knows what the WWE knows what they're doing when they market some of these superstars. What I predict will be the second match. Let's go with Sami Zayn versus Braun Breaker for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. I swear if they have Sami Zayn win a freaking again. Dude, he should not have beaten Chad Gable in their feud they just had. Okay, so Braun Breaker, he's been on absolute storm, came on to Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania, and has just been running through the roster. He's been asking for tougher competition. Now he's going to be getting tougher competition. This is what should happen, okay? Braun Breaker beats Sami Zayn, wins the belt. That's my prediction. And we get a new champion on this card. You know, we only have two title fights. So hopefully at least one title changes. Okay, hopefully at least one title changes. The other title fight on this card is a last chance match for the World Heavyweight Championship between the current champion Damian Priest and the former champion Seth freaking Rollins. And there's a stipulation for this match where if Damian Priest wins, Seth Rollins can never challenge for the title as long as Priest is champion, which is super random. But if Rollins wins, Priest has to leave his group the Judgment Day. It's some terrible stipulations. There's literally nothing riding on this. But Seth Rollins, you know, he's just going to be in this match to put Damian Priest over. And I'm actually impressed that Damian Priest has kept this belt this long. The winner of this will probably be taking on Gunther at SummerSlam. So that should be an exciting matchup at the start of August. But yes. I'm going to go with Damian Priest. I mean, he's gotten through Drew McIntyre. He's gotten through, who else is he taking on? Jey Uso. He's not being stopped by Seth freaking Rollins. So I guess Seth Rollins will never challenge for the World Heavyweight Championship again. Legend of the game, but Damian Priest definitely going to retain. However, there are some other interesting dynamics that could happen. You know, Judgment Day kind of breaking apart. Finn Balor, Dominic Mysterio, you know, Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley. A lot of stuff transpiring. We'll have to see what happens there. Also, the co-main event, I think, or what might be the main event, the Money in the Bank ladder match for the men's championship contract. There's one more match tonight between Drew McIntyre, Ilja Dragunov, and Sheamus, which is going down on Raw. I'm thinking they might give that to Drew McIntyre, have him go into the match, and have CM Punk mess him up again. I can easily see that happening. Also in that match, you have Jey Uso, who's a favorite to win it, Carmelo Hayes, who's kind of an up-and-comer. They can maybe give it to him. Andrade is getting a lot of hype. Chad Gable, LA Knight. I think this Men's Money in the Bank does not have a predictive winner. Kind of same for both of the women's, too. But if it was up to me, I think Drew McIntyre is going to win the triple threat match on Raw. You know, get that spot. CM Punk is going to mess him up. They're set up for a huge match at SummerSlam. That match is going to be so hype. LA Knight, I honestly think he's just going to be a guy that is so good, but they'll never get a push. Chad Gable just does not strike me as a world champion. You know, Jey Uso, they could easily give it to. I think, honestly, Jey Uso winning it would be a great move. Because Carmelo Hayes and Andrade are good. You know, they could even win it next year, 2 years down the road. So Jey Uso will ride with him. He's kind of the obvious prediction, but sometimes it never hurts to pick the obvious guy. There's that. And what I'm just going to assume is going to be the main event, which, I mean, is just so average. Six-man tag team match. Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton, and Kevin Owens take on the Bloodline, which is now Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa, and Jacob Fatu. And they just broke up with Paul Heyman. I'll be interested to see what happens. I keep hearing rumors that Roman Reigns is going to return at this. Who knows? But Cody Rhodes, your WWE champion, the face of WWE, I assume he'll be in the main event. Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, they've been like a team for a while, oddly. I don't know. I think you need to have the Bloodline win if you're going to make them menacing at all. I mean, I think about there's some groups like the Nexus when they lost, they were buried so hard after that. So if you're actually going to want to make this group menacing at all and get people entertained, you got to have the Bloodline retain. Maybe Roman Reigns will return. That'd be super cool. And I kind of want to tune into this. I'm not going to lie. I might buy Peacock just to watch this. I feel like it's going to be a pretty good PLE. So interesting stuff going down in Canada. Braun Breaker to become the new Intercontinental Champion. Damian Priest to retain the Bloodline to win. And Tiffany Stratton and Jey Uso to become your new Mr. and Mrs. Money in the Bank. A lot of fun stuff ahead when it comes to WWE. It's always fun. I've been watching since I was a little baby Zach. And there's certain things that you wish you had since you were a baby. And one of them, guys, is this book I just read. It is phenomenal. It is a phenomenal book. I cannot encourage you guys to read it anymore. I'm talking this one of those books that changes your life. Last episode, we had 8 books to change your life. This book will change your life. It is The 4 Agreements, A Practical Guide to Personal Freedom, a Toltec Wisdom book by, what's his freaking name? It's being covered up right now by my library tag. It's Don Miguel Ruiz. Absolutely, very cool guy. Raised in rural Mexico. And he basically learned about this Toltec culture. And there's four agreements. There's four agreements. That's the essence of this book. And the first one, there's a lot in this book. I took a lot of notes. I'm going to run you through all of them. But the first agreement is to, where is it? I had it written down and I lose. Actually, I should have it memorized. The first one is be impeccable with your word. The second one is don't make assumptions. And the third one is don't take anything personal. And the fourth one is do your best. I think I said the second and third out of turn, but that's the essence of them. So let me just run you through some of my notes. This is what I was jotting down as I was listening to this, so you can kind of get into my brain. Chapter one was called The Domestication and the Dream of the Planet. And a lot of what this book talks about is how we've been domesticated as humans. We've been taught and told how to act and live a certain way. And it's about breaking that. It's about breaking social norms, essentially. And it starts off with saying dreaming is the main function of the mind. And, you know, you have to think. You dream all day. You know, it's a deep thought, but you dream all day. You dream up what you're going to do. You dream about what you want to do down the road. You dream up dreams at night. You dream up dreams in your scenarios. I mean, there's just so much dreaming. Like, life is a dream. What your own reality is a dream. It's pretty weird. Stay with me. Another thing I got, attention concentrates the mind. So your mind becomes concentrated when something gets your attention. You're at the bar, you see that girl. All of a sudden, you have attention to her. I'm with my girlfriend, we're watching a movie. All of a sudden, she pauses it, looks at me. My attention's been concentrated. I'm watching UFC. A big knockout happens. All of a sudden, my attention becomes concentrated. I'm making dinner. All of a sudden, you know, I'm just going through it. Something spills. My attention is concentrated. So once you become attentive to something, it concentrates your mind. And with that is we are competitive for attention. Attention from things in our environment. People around us. Like I said, the girlfriend. For any of those single men out there, girls at the bar, you know, your parents even. I mean, just so many people. And the only way to store information in this mind, you know, is for us to be in agreement. So that's what the four agreements are, you know, all these agreements in your mind. And a lot of this has to do with faith. And faith is belief. Believe unconditionally. That is faith, is believing unconditionally in something. You know, being a supporter, you know, of the Lord, of Jesus, of God, you know, that takes faith. You know, some evidence you have and some you just have to have faith. You just have to have faith that everything will work out. And, you know, I was mentioning earlier about domestication, and the book says that children are domesticated the same way as a dog or cat. You may be like, what? What are you talking about? You have to think. You know, you teach your dog to speak, you know, to bark, to follow commands. You teach a human how to speak. You teach it what not to do. Don't crawl there. Don't eat that. Don't touch that. Go out to the bathroom. You go to the bathroom here. It's eerily similar. Another thing with our minds is that there's something in our mind that judges everything. Every single thing. We judge everything. We judge people. We judge the things we eat, the things we do. We judge everything. So, what's this book all about? It is challenging your beliefs that have been domesticated within you. You know, we have a powerful memory, something it mentions. There's a stat thrown out. I don't know if it's true, but 95% of beliefs we have are lies, which could be true. You know, the world's a lie. The world's a stage. Another thing is that we are on an eternal search for the truth, which is kind of true. Your whole life, even after you die, your soul goes to heaven and you'll still be on a search for the truth. But it's not until you meet Jesus, you get the truth. You know, until we cannot see, we are not free. You know, we're obviously not free in the world. You're not free. We're all domesticated, which is weird to hear. You know, I really encourage you to read this book because what's coming out of my mouth is not going to be as articulated as well as Don did in his book. We cannot forgive ourselves for not being perfect, it mentions, which is very true. And, you know, that's a statement that comes straight from the Bible, is we're not perfect and we'll never be perfect. And we can't forgive ourselves for that, which is deep. A lot of this is having self-love, which I think I've been doing great recently. I love myself. I never really say I hate myself ever again. The most important agreements are the ones you make with yourself. You know, that will be your habits. That will be your discipline, your dedication right there. And the main part of this is you need to break fear. Claim personal power. It's time to change the system and to turn your personal dream into your reality. And that's a lot of what the book is about. It was very good. That's kind of a nice little summary. I didn't realize the first chapter was a good little summary before we even dove into the first agreement. Be impeccable with your word. With your word. And the word is the truth. And that is the key, is that your word is your truth. So, be impeccable with your word is the most important law. The most important law is be impeccable with your word. And you may be asking me, Zach, the good old Zachary, the host, what does it mean to be impeccable with your word? I got you. So being impeccable with your word, starting out, speak with integrity. You know, you have to think whatever you say. And, you know, the word can be writing. The word can be thinking. The word is a lot of things. Think of the Bible. The Bible is the word. The Bible is not just a book. Okay, the Bible can be a book, but is more of a living, breathing thing. Okay, and that's what the word is. Speaking with integrity, always have integrity when you speak. Say only what you mean, which is so tough for me. I'm a chatter. I say whatever's on my mind. I really have been trying to be mindful of this, is that say only what you mean. Don't say mean things. Never saying something mean to someone has never done good. Never done good. Avoid speaking against yourself, which I learned in the 48 Laws of Power, and gossiping about others. I mean, gossiping about others, you know, it's very frowned upon. And you have to think, how often when you gossip, is it bad? It has to be like 98% of gossip is bad. 2% is you're gossiping good about someone. And you have to use the power of your word for truth and love. And it's, you know, sappy dappy says, oh, I don't want love. I'm a badass guy. I got tattoos, my big truck. No, the real men in the world are going to use their word for truth and love, which is very tough for people to do. I know for me, you know, I curse, I say mean things, I say bad things, and I really should use my word for truth and love, especially what I think, write, and say, very much so. And the word is a force. You know, you think of the force from Star Wars, that's what the word is. You know, your word, what you say, has the power to create life, create love, and also destroy nations. How many, think of Nazi Germany, for example. That was literally thrown around in the book of how one man, Hitler, used the power of his word to completely change the world. Completely change the world. Crazy, 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 crazy. And part of that is creating beauty, you know, creating beauty through art, creating beauty through a book, creating beauty through just being kind, complimenting someone. That's creating beauty with your word, being impeccable with your word. This was a big part I got, is to take responsibility for your actions, but don't judge or blame yourself. So let's say you're dealing with something. Okay, let's say you cannot stop, vaping. Let's say you cannot stop vaping, you know, you just need to take responsibility that vaping is bad, you need to stop, but don't blame yourself or judge yourself for vaping. Stop yourself. Say, I love myself, I don't want to put this in my lungs. Okay? Let's say, there's so many examples. Let's say you're addicted to sleeping around with women. You know, you have to say, instead of saying, gosh, I'm such a loser, I'm such a playboy for sleeping around, say, no, I value my body, I value other people's bodies, I'm going to commit myself to one person. How about that? Take responsibility for your actions, but don't judge or blame yourself. How about that? Opinions can become a part of our belief system. I think that's very true, especially in politics, especially in conspiracy theories, is you hear something, it becomes your opinion, and all of a sudden your opinions are your belief system. I think that's a lot of people. There's only a very few select things in the world that are the truth. A lot of other things are just opinions. Forgive people, for they do not know what they do. That's straight from the Bible, and that was said in this book. How many people say mean things to you? This kind of ties into the second agreement, which we're going to talk about. But how many people say mean things to you? How many times do you say mean things to others without, you know, actually meaning it? You're just in a moment of rage. The person you're with is just in a moment of rage. And some people just do not know. They aren't impeccable with your word. And you need to forgive them, not discipline them. Just remind them, okay? They do not know what they do, so forgive them. And only the truth will set us free. The truth will set us free. And freedom is your personal power to do whatever you want. Understanding what the word is and what it does is very important. Understand everything. We're actually going to get to that later. Understanding everything. But just understanding what the word is. The word is a lot of things. The book describes it perfectly. It's an easy read, too. You can read it in one day, 2 hours, maybe. It is possible to do this. And this law turns fear into joy and love. Big part of this book is that it is taking fear and it is crushing it. Okay, and we all have fears in this life. We all worry about things. And I just think a very, very important thing is to conquer those fears. Because, you know, I'm trying to conquer my fears. I hate roller coasters, you know, but I mean, honestly, I don't really need to go roller coasters to conquer my fear. But maybe the dark, you know, I'm scared of the dark. I do more things in the dark now. How about that? I don't know if that's the best example, but it's an example. There you go. The second agreement, which was the third chapter in this book, was don't take anything personally. Everyone needs to hear this. Every single person. Don't take anything personally. What others say and do is a projection of themselves. Okay? Become immune to others. Never assume everything is about you. Never assume everything is about me. Because I know what I am and you know what you are. Okay? You never need someone else to tell you what you are. You know, let's say, you know, you're starting to get a little angry and someone goes, why are you getting so angry? You know, they've just used their word to tell you what you are, and you might even believe it, you know, because you're taking that personally. But I think anytime someone gets mad at you, you have to understand that they're dealing with things, you know, and you might just be in their crosshairs and you just happen to be the person they're getting mad at. Your point of view is only your truth, okay? And my point of view is only my truth. You know, we all see things through our two eyes, you know. Let me really mess with you right now. I want you to just focus on your eyes and realize you are just two eyes looking out through your body. Your body is a vessel, and inside of it is the soul. And all you can do is really look out through your eyes, and you kind of just feel hidden behind your eyes right now. That's your point of view. Everything you consume is your point of view. You know, I certainly know this from all my friends. I have so many friends, so many people, men, women, children, older, old people, all of them that I know, and they all see the world through different lens, differently than me. So when we run into a little disagreement, you got to kind of remind yourself, especially I do, that I'm seeing the world differently than them. We have a choice to listen to the mind. You know, the mind is a powerful thing, and the mind throws ideas all day. All day, and it could be as simple as picking up a notebook, going to the bathroom. It could be as drastic as driving drunk, doing the drugs that someone offers you. It could be as drastic as cheating on your girlfriend, cheating on your test, lying to your parents. Okay, the mind does a lot of things, but what the mind also does is the mind has love. Because like I said, there's a spiritual realm out there, and you got the good and the bad in your head telling you what to do. Okay, there could be, go help that woman, she's in need. There could be, go pray for that person. Go donate. Go do charity work. You know, the mind has good and the mind has bad. And you have a choice to listen to certain parts of it. It all comes down to you. Freedom comes when you take nothing personal. I'm certainly starting to learn this. I haven't really ran into any issues where I've had to take anything personal. You know, I've certainly known. I haven't really been yelled at recently or ran into anyone angry at me. But when I do, I'll just remember to not take anything personal. And you are never responsible for the actions of others. Just remember that. Whatever your significant other, best friend, parent does, it's not your fault. You're not responsible for the things they do to themselves, even if you think you are, okay? Maybe if you're using your word to hurt them, you know, it's actually them who's taking the chance to do this. The main thing that I got out of this chapter is live without fear. Live without fear. You know, if you're not taking anything personal, you're not fearing anything. You know, that person coming after you, just know it's not actually you they're after. It's themselves and their mind they're after. The third agreement, chapter 4 of this book, was don't make assumptions. This one's big, guys. This one is big. How many of you assume things? How many of you have made an assumption about someone? Okay, you have to find the courage to ask and express how you really feel to understand fully. Ask questions, for goodness sakes. You know, this is a key to a marriage. You know, I remember my vice president in my company, you know, he was telling me, you know, read this book, you know, it helped me with my marriage. And I was like, okay. And, you know, I got into a fight with my girlfriend over the weekend. Nothing major at all, a minor little disagreement. Certainly my fault, definitely. And, you know, instead of kind of just assuming, you know, everything was going to be all right, you know, kind of just assuming like how she's thinking. No, I kind of, you know, I had to ask, you know, well, how do you feel about this? You know, I understand I messed up, you know, well, what can I do to fix this? Yeah, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things. And humans have a need to justify everything. So I've been working to not justify anything. I was at a little bags tournament with everyone at work today. It was a 4th of July party. And my team lost in round one. We sucked. I think I only got 5 points. My partner got 1 and the other team got 21. We got smoked. And it was windy out. The boards were slanted. The road was slanted. The boys. I was losing my train of thought there. What was I trying to say? The boards were ice. The boards were slick, and it was slanted. That's the words I was looking for. You know, I talk so much all day. I get to the podcast at the end of the day, and I'm stuttering all over myself. Tyler Brischke, a guy we have to have on the show, he's a big stutterer. Sorry to call you out, Tyler. That was rude of me. Love Tyler. Absolutely love Tyler. But, you know, a lot of stuff was going on with the bags tournament, and I never justified anything. We lost. I shook hands. I went inside, and I just, you know, went to do my work. You know, there was nothing to justify why we lost. We lost. We weren't the better team. Even though there were a lot of factors, you know, there's no need to justify it. And it is not important if the answer to a justification is correct. It's just that the answer itself makes us feel safe, okay? So this is a big example for me. You know, I always talk with my friends, especially my buddy Seth, always about sports. And whenever we hear something that we think might not be correct, we always have to jump in. Actually, it was this. And, you know, even if we're wrong, simply us saying that makes us feel better about ourselves, which is really weird. And what you can't do is you can't change people. Don't change people. I hear a lot of people getting into relationships. I used to think this when I was in a junior, senior in high school, is that if I got with a girl, I could change her. You know, like, oh, she's like, you know, we'll never work out. I'm like, I can, you know, I can help you. You know, I can make her change. That it can't work. You can't change people. People have to change for themselves. Okay. Part of all this is making communication clear. Not assuming is making communication clear. And, you know, as much as the other, you know, being impeccable with your word, you have to watch it all day. You know, gosh, I always forget agreement two off the top of my head. What's agreement two? I can't believe this, guys. You know, I reiterate this stuff over and over and over. Don't take anything personally. You know, as much as you have to make those two a habit, this one, not assuming, is a real habit you have to make, because the other two, you know, not taking anything personal and being impeccable with your word, you do that a lot more than you assume. You make a lot of assumptions. So if you can make this into a habit, obviously all of them, but especially not making assumptions into a habit, you'll be very happy in life. I can tell you that. The fourth agreement, the final agreement in this book, is to always do your best. Always do your best. You know, you're going to wake up every day imperfect. God didn't make you imperfect. The world made you imperfect. A lot of stuff did. And all you can do is try your best. All right? Give it your all. Every time. Every day. Any minuscule activity you do, do it your all. Brush your teeth like you've never brushed them before. Pee like you've never peed before. Run that track like you've never ran before. Lift those weights like you never have before. Give it your all designing something. Give it your all destroying something. Give it your all at whatever you do. And when you do your best, you're taking action. Okay, when you take reaction, it shouldn't be because you love it. It should not be for a reward. It's because you love it, not for a reward. It's not for a reward. It's because you love it. That's why you're taking action. I got my writing mixed up there. Learn to accept yourself. Learn to accept yourself. If you love yourself, you'll love other people. I've learned that. If you don't love yourself, you won't love other people. And I love myself. Not in an egotistical kind of way, but, you know, in a self-love type of way. Here's a big one. Whatever life takes away from you, let it go. Let it go. Don't chase. Don't chase anything. If you're removed from someone's life, it was meant to be. If they're removed from yours, it was meant to be. You know, if you didn't get in somewhere, let it go. You know, God has put you where he wants you to be. You know, you're being guided by spiritual forces out of your control every single day. And it's crazy. You know, I'm 21 years old. It's my 22nd birthday in October. I remember my 10th birthday. And I question, how have I made it 11, almost 12 years? How have I made it this far? It's because I got angels guiding me, my boys. I got angels guiding me. Big thing out of this is practice makes the master. You practice these habits, you practice a skill, you'll master it. You practice these four agreements, you will master it. Do your best, okay? Do your best to be impeccable with your word, not take anything personally, and not make assumptions. You know, you got to say it out loud. I choose to honor the four agreements. Say it with me right now, as dumb as it is. I choose to honor the four agreements. Read the book, say that statement. And today, this very moment you've heard this, the very moment you pick up the book and finish it, today can be the beginning of a new dream, a dream that you have created that is your personal guide to freedom. Practical guide to personal freedom. Chapter 6 was all about the Toltec path to freedom. True freedom comes from the human spirit. The first steps towards personal freedom is awareness. Being aware that you're not free will make you free. Waking up, you know, you're finally awake. You're woke, but you ain't that type of woke. You've just awakened. You have to master certain things. Master awareness, master transformation, and master intent. Be intentful with what you do. Whenever you do a task, have intent. You know, I think of the 7 habits of highly successful people. Begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. When you're doing a task, picture it done. Picture it done. Work your way backwards on how the steps are going to look to it getting done. Use your own mind instead of the belief system. You know, the government, the people around you, they have their own belief system. Use your own mind to make your own belief system, and don't make it bad. Don't make it bad, you know, don't be like, you know, my belief system's got me doing drugs, staying out late, cheating on everyone that I love, being mean to my friends, letting people down. No, you know, use your mind to create a belief system of truth and love. How about that? God is always present, guys. You know, we have an omnipresent God in our lives. The kingdom of heaven is everywhere. Heaven is on earth, and as silly as that sounds, there is heaven. There's a heaven outside, there's a heaven in hell, but on earth there is heaven. You know, that feeling of holding a newborn baby that your wife just gave birth to, your son, your daughter, that's heaven. You know, planting a field of flowers, you know, for an empty parking lot and just looking at it, you know, that's love. You know, telling someone that they look great today, that's love. You know, that's heaven. Heaven is love. So if you continue to spread love everywhere, you're spreading the kingdom of heaven. You know, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And with this comes the art of transformation. You know, you have to focus on what you want to change. I've read so many self-help books, you know, and each one has to dissect a very certain thing. You have to understand it takes time. You know, you never change overnight. Look at the gym. You know, I've been working out for 3 straight years in the gym, 5 days a week. Some days 4, some days 6, and, you know, I may not think I've made progress. I look at a photo of me in 2020. I'm like, I looked like that? You know, I had no muscle. I wasn't toned. I mean, it's crazy. It takes time. Repetition makes the master, you know, and what did we say earlier about, you know, being a master is you have to master. You have to master, gosh, what did we say? This is what happens when I take so many notes, which I think taking notes is very good. Practice makes the master. There we go. The discipline of the warrior was an end part of this chapter. The way you see the world will depend on the emotions you are feeling. You see a puppy, you know, abandoned on the side of the road, you're going to feel sadness, you know? You see your favorite sports team win, you're going to feel happiness. You know, you see a tornado, you know, on the radar coming towards your house, you're going to feel worry. You know, how you see the world will depend on the emotions you are feeling. You know, if you put a positive spin on every single thing, the world will change. As evil as it is, there's positivity you can find in every single thing. And you may point out the darkest thing, trying to be a hypocrite or something, but, you know, on the surface level, let's actually think about that. You have to forgive yourself. Forgive, since you love yourself, that's what it is. That's the only way to heal, is if you forgive, you will love yourself. If you forgive others, you'll love yourself. Emotions control behaviors of humans. We definitely know that. Definitely know that. And the discipline of the warrior. Warriors are impeccable. Warriors are impeccable with their word. Warriors aren't assuming. Warriors aren't letting other people put them down. And warriors are always trying their best. And here is, you know, I had a whole other part of things. But I kind of want to end on this, is the embracing the angel of death. Embracing the angel of death was one of the final points of this book. I'm going to be myself is a statement it says to make. And it says, how can you enjoy the present living in the past? Surrender. You have to embrace the angel of death. You're going to die. You've heard the term ego death. It's not as dark as ego death, because ego death happens when you take, I believe it's acid, DMT, shrooms or something, and you completely become a different person. With this is you are choosing to become a different person on your own. All right, you know, welcome the angel of death. The angel of death is going to come in. It's going to remove things from your life, and you have to accept it. You know, and I think when this comes to losing loved ones, losing pets, you have to embrace they're going to die. And but are you going to remember the fact that they died? Are you going to remember the fact that they've been brought to a better place, that you love them, the memories you shared? If you embrace that, your life will be 100 times better. And it's tough to absorb all this, guys. 4 agreements broken down, minuscule, has offered loads of information. I encourage everyone to read this book. This book is life-altering. This book is life-changing. And hey, guess what? It can even make you a better person. If you don't want to be a better person, then what are you doing with your life? Come on, be a better person. I love good people. And I love myself, not in a way like that. You know, I don't like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm better than everyone. No. Self-love. Very cool. Very, very cool. As much as I just read this book, and you know, it's a bunch of new stuff. There's also new stuff in the pop culture world. That's right. Discussing film. We're always talking about discussing film, I swear. But we got 10 new things in pop culture. Let's get right into it. So then we can talk about UFC 303. I mean, lots of fun stuff. A new trailer for M. Night Shyamalan's Trap movie has been released. It hits theaters on August 2nd. And guys, this movie is a very interesting plot, based on a true story of sorts, keyword of sorts, where essentially this guy takes his daughter to a concert, and while he's there, he notices there's a lot of police. He's noticed that the building's locked, and he asks kind of one of the vendors, like one of the guys working at like the booths, he's kind of like, hey, you know, what's going on? He's like, they're actually planning to trap a serial killer here, and they're locking everyone in. They're going to try and find him because they think he's going to be here. And you're kind of like, oh, okay. And then the big shock is, you know, the guy who you're assuming is going to be the main character of the film goes to the bathroom, checks his phone, and he has a guy tied up in his basement. And you find out that he is the serial killer from the trailer, and they're going to try and catch him, and he's going to try and avoid them. And M. Night Shyamalan, I mean, dude makes some amazing movies. How about that? Exciting stuff. Very exciting stuff. Will I see it? Maybe on DVD, on digital at home, not at the theater. But this looks interesting. It's based off a true story of, I think, back in the 80s, police invite a bunch of suspected criminals to a football game, and they were giving out free tickets. And while they're at the football game, they started catching them, which I found pretty funny. Found that pretty funny. Number two we'll talk about is episode 3 of House of the Dragon. Watched House of the Dragon, some interesting stuff. I'm just not that into it. You know, I'm not into this show as I am, like, The Boys, per se, or even back when I watched Game of Thrones. But there are some good moments in this. I kind of know what happens. You know, I know the whole story. I've read the book. So nothing really surprises me. But I've heard episode 4 is going to be good. But yeah, nothing too crazy. I just want big action scenes and nothing to drop my jaw. I'm not in suspense of anything. Let me say that. There's no suspense. There's no mystery. With Game of Thrones, the books are out from George R. R. Martin, but a lot of those books, you know, they've been out a while. And by the way, seasons 5, 6, 7, and 8, you know, there's like no book material in there. So, but House of the Dragon, then 4th episode that I think is supposed to be the biggest one yet. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see. Pedro Pascal, the first images of him have dropped in Gladiator 2. Let me just tell you guys, he is looking very cool. Pedro Pascal has absolutely taken over, one of the better actors of the 2010s going into the 2020s. I'm excited for that, honestly. Gladiator 2, do they need a sequel? No, but Hollywood has no idea what to do. These original movies are not being successful. You know, they need to build franchises. So back to Gladiator. He ain't no Russell Crowe, let me tell you that. A Quiet Place Day 1 will release on digital on July 30th is the fourth thing we have, according to Amazon Prime. Like I said, I saw it on opening night, June 28th, and not even a month later, it's coming to digital. I do not understand why. Trust me, I do not understand why. And by the way, it has biggest box office opening of the previous two movies. Number 5, Warner Bros. And Paramount have expressed interest in merging Max and Paramount Plus into a joint streaming service. I'd be okay with that as long as I get it for free. I get HBO Max with my phone plan. I really hope I still get that. If I don't, then I will be very, very angry. And we don't want me to be angry, do we? Number 6, the final trailer for Long Legs has been released. Long Legs, I've heard, is a horrifying film. It's about a serial killer and this FBI detective who tracks the serial killer. But it's like a horror film, so it's like a horror film without any actual, like, supernatural stuff. Or maybe there's supernatural stuff, I don't know. It's kind of piquing my interest, guys. It's kind of piquing my interest. Comes out in July. I may check it out. I don't know. I may check it out. I'm kind of in a movie mood of going to the movies a lot. So we'll have to see. Number 7, the first trailer for the final season of Cobra Kai has been released. Season 6, part 1, releases on July 18th. I assume they'll drop like 5 episodes, 6 episodes, and then drop the remainder after that, like a month or two later. But it looks good. It looks good. I will say, you know, season 1, season 2, season 3 were amazing. Season 4 and season 5 are kind of average. You know, obviously I love Cobra Kai. I'll watch the final season. But, you know, it's crazy. It's coming to an end. You know, this show's coming to an end. The Umbrella Academy's coming to an end. The Boys, after this, one more season. Stranger Things is coming to an end. I'm going to need new shows, guys. All my shows are coming to an end. Number 8, what's the 8th thing? A lot of Gladiator pictures. They dropped so many Gladiator pictures today. You also have Joseph Quinn, Denzel Washington, a lot of stars in this movie. My goodness. Number 8, they're coming out with a new Hellboy movie starring Jack Casey. I mean, Hellboy, never a movie. I've never watched a Hellboy movie. These always look weird. It's like this guy from hell. I don't even know. Weird. I do not want to do that at all. No. I don't even know what I'm saying now. But number 9, Viggo Mortensen says he will return for The Hunt for Gollum if it's a good script or he goes broke. The script is the most important thing to me unless I'm broke. I have no money and I'm lucky to get a job, so it depends. Oh, of course, he played Aragorn in the Lord of the Rings movies. It's crazy. They're making another Gollum movie, but it's like we already know what's going to happen, so I don't really know what to make of that. And the final thing we're touch on, my girlfriend saw this film, Inside Out 2, has become the first film of 2024 to pass a billion worldwide. Clearly, Inside Out has its fans. I know my girlfriend said that it was an amazing, amazing movie. You know, she really connected with it. And I'm like, hey, you know what? Good for you. I'm not going to see it. I did not like the first one, but you know what? Inside Out, good for you. $1 billion. I'll tell you, no one else reminds me of $1 billion, and that is when a really good UFC event happens, all right? And that's what UFC 303 was. That's right, it was an absolutely electric event, guys. It was so much fun. I've been jonesing to talk about it, so let's get right on into it. Let's not waste any time. UFC 303 official recap. So let me just say, this is one of those events where I wish I would have bet, guys, because we predicted the entire prelims correctly, 8 for 8. We actually predicted the first fight on the main card correctly, so we went 9 for 9 unfortunately ended 1-3. We did get kind of caught off guard with some of the final four fights, but other than that, prelims went absolutely fantastic, exactly what we thought was going to happen, and we kicked off the card with a little bantamweight action between Ricky Simone and Vinicius Oliveira, and Vinicius Oliveira got the unanimous decision win. Very good win for Lock Dog, Vinicius Oliveira, cashing as an underdog, 21-3 now, professionally, 2-0 in the UFC, and he just beat a guy who used to be ranked. Ricky Simone used to be a top 15 guy. Totals from the fight, 96 significant strikes to 42 for Vinicius Oliveira. 2 of 11 on takedowns for Ricky Simone, only 31 seconds of control time. Oliveira landed one takedown for 16 minutes of control time. That's pretty comical. Round 1, outstruck him 28-14. Round 2, 28-17. And round 3, 40-11. Vinicius Oliveira using his size to get it done. Impressive win. Impressive win for the bantamweight. There's not much more you can ask for out of a guy. And you just beat someone in Ricky Simone. I mean, I hate to really throw him to the wolves, but I mean, Ricky Simone's a talented guy. Bottom of the rankings, number 15th ranked Pedro Munhoz, number 14th ranked Jonathan Martinez. Hey, even 11th ranked Kyler Phillips. I mean, I'm ready to throw any of these guys at him, okay? Good work, Oliveira. As for Ricky Simone, I mean, not very ideal. Not very ideal, 31. Been with the UFC a hot minute now since 2018. This is year number six for Ricky Simone. I guess just try and rebuild. 3-fight losing streak now. Not looking too hot. Going down to flyweight, Rey Tezura making his UFC debut, taking on Carlos Hernandez, and the young Japanese boy gets it done, improving to 10-0 with his unanimous decision win. Carlos Hernandez does fall to 1-3 in his last four. He's now 9-4 professionally, so not very good. But I mean, yeah, Tezura doing exactly what needs to be done. I mean, he was chilling in between rounds. Like, I'm talking like not hardly breathing, didn't even need water. And good win for a minus 400 favorite for a reason. Totals from the fight, 17 significant strikes to 16 for Tezura. So not too many significant strikes. Total strikes, 62-26 for Tezura. Takedown wise, 3 of 8 for 6 minutes, 19 seconds. Carlos Hernandez went 1 of 2 for 4.5 minutes. Round 1, Carlos was doing decent on the feet, but Rey was able to get it to the ground. Round 2, landed one takedown for 4 minutes, 42 seconds. And then round 3, Carlos was controlling him a majority of the round. So kind of lost it in round 3, but rounds 1 and 2 were dominant, and the flyweight gets it done. So good win for Tasuruya. 22 years young. Amazing work. And that's why he's the number one flyweight in Japan. Obviously, he has a lot of room to improve. Obviously, has a lot to be done. But good start. Good start to his little flyweight career here. As for Carlos Hernandez, I could care less, honestly. I could care less. He lost. He sucks. I'll tell you what else sucks. This next fight. Andrei Arlovski, Martin Boudet. We picked Martin Boudet to win. We just knew he would win, and he did. And in typical Andrei Arlovski fashion, I mean, I want you all to know that Andrei Arlovski has now outstruck his opponents in his last two fights and lost both of them. So he landed 74 significant strikes to 54, outstruck him in every round. But Martin Boudet just landed the harder shots. I mean, just Andrei Arlovski had the volume, but just, I mean, nothing. Boudet was holding them up against the fence. The fans were the loser of this one, let me tell you that. Martin Boudet improves to 14-2. He's now sitting at 5-1 in the UFC. I mean, 14-2 professionally isn't too bad. As for Andrei Arlovski, 34-24, lost 4 straight fights. His UFC contract expired. They're not going to renew it. And he'll now be a free agent at 45 years old. Good win for Boudet, you know, beating Andrei Arlovski. I don't know his limit. I don't know what it is. Rodrigo Nascimento just got knocked out by Derek Lewis. He's ranked number 15. I say we make that fight. I honestly don't know. Don't know what to do about this. Very boring. It just really shows. I mentioned this all the time on the podcast. The difference between like the top 7 or 8 heavyweights in the UFC and the rest of the rankings, even unranked, is so monumental. It's hilarious. It's actually hilarious. And speaking of send-offs, speaking of people leaving, we had a ranked matchup between the number 15th ranked Jillian Robertson, number 14th ranked Michelle Warson Gomez in the women's strawweight division. And Jillian Robertson beat Michelle Warson Gomez, and Michelle retired. She retired, hung up her gloves, called it a career, and I don't blame her because it's not going to get better from here. Jillian Robertson, 2 of 6 on takedowns, 12.5 minutes of control time. Are you kidding me? Round 2, 4 minutes, 49 seconds. It's absolutely crazy. 12.5 minutes, guys, is 2.5 rounds of the fight. Okay, so Michelle Marcin Gomez had 21 significant strikes to Jillian's 77, 41 total strikes to Jillian's 122. She did land one takedown in the final round, which was immediately reversed into Jillian having control. Tough loss for Gomez. She ends her UFC run on a 5-fight losing streak. 18-13. Tough, tough, tough. Best for Jillian Robertson. All right, now you're going to be ranked number 14 in the UFC. 2-fight win streak, 4-1 in her last 5. Impressive now to start off the year, 2-0. Let's hopefully she can get one in before year's end. Very surprised she didn't get a finish in this one. She'll be ranked number 14. Jillian Robertson, 29 years old from Canada. Peeking around the rankings, I mean, we could also just have her slowly advance. Number 12 ranked Luyana Pinheiro coming off of some losses. I say we do that fight. Number 12 ranked against the number 14th ranked. Perfect. Matchup made right there. After that, you know, 4 kind of boring decisions, if you will, led us to our first finish of the night. And by the way, the run after this fight went on a crazy 4-fight run. Absolutely incredible. You could even argue the rest of the card was amazing from here. First off, Peyton Talbot giving us our first finish in the 5th fight of the night. The first performance bonus of the night. 19-second knockout for the -1600 favorite. Yeah, there's a reason he was a -1600 favorite. My goodness. Peyton lands 13 significant strikes in 19 seconds. Wow. Giannis Gamori landed 1. Oh, my goodness, Giannis. Oh, my goodness, Gamori. Second time he's been KO'd. Third time he's been finished in his career. He's now 0-2 in the UFC. It's, yeah, time for him to go. As for Peyton Talbot, 3-0 in the UFC. All of them finishes. They've gotten better and better and better. All right, talk about, you know, his debut in November gets a finish in the 3rd round after losing the first two. Earlier this year in March, you know, took him 2 rounds to finish Cameron Sabin. Took him 19 seconds. Holy cow, Peyton Talbot. 7th career knockout. His 8th career finish. He's going places. He's going places, and obviously we're not going to throw him to the UFC rankings, but I mean, heck, I'd have this guy take on Ricky Simon. I think Ricky Simon's just like a typical gatekeeper, obviously in a great position after losing to Vincius. But I mean, there's actually so many bantamweights out there. I mean, Peyton Talbot could take on a plethora of people. But excellent win. Excellent win. Giannis might get cut. I kid you not. They might throw him on the Paris card on the prelims. But tough loss for Giannis Gamori. But man, Peyton Talbot getting the crowd going. And after that, guys, we went up from bantamweight to featherweight. And I actually have no idea how this guy didn't get performance bonus. I understand there were better knockouts. But, I mean, Gene Silva taking on Charles Zerdane. I just remember Gene Silva missed weight by 1.5 pounds. That's why he didn't get performance bonus. But Gene Silva knocks out Charles Zerdane in round 2. The underdog gets it done. His 12th career finish, 10th career KO for Gene Lord Silva. Wow, of his 13 wins. 10 KOs. Wow. 2-0 in the UFC. Both knockouts. This one was nasty. A little uppercut to Charles Zerdane. And we saw the power early on. Gene Silva dropped him in round 1. I mean, outstruck him in round 1. Charles was turned to a grappler. 2-5 on takedowns in round 1 for 34 seconds of control time. Round 2, I mean, Charles landed a takedown. Had 43 seconds of control time. Once he got to the feet, Gene found his chin. Knocked him out. Bam. Impressive stuff for Gene Silva. How about that, deal? That's a good little run to go on in the men's featherweight division. I don't know if he's going to be getting a ranked opponent next, for goodness sakes. But lots of options. Galore. I mean, and honestly, he could take on a man we're going to mention in the next fight, which I always love to do, is when you have people in the same weight class on the same card. You can just match make them together. But as for Charles Zerdane, he's now lost 2 straight fights. They've kind of come in waves, though. You know, he won 2 2021, 2022, then lost 2 in 2022, then won 2 in 2023, and so far lost 2 in 2024. So Charles Zerdane, 15-8-1. Man, tough loss for the Canadian. That's the first time he's ever been knocked out. Second time he's ever been finished. Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. But Gene Silva, he's got that knockout power. He is a natural lightweight, though. So we'll see if he can get back down to featherweight in another weight cut. But your fight of the night went to the next matchup as Andre Feely beat Cub Swanson in a fight of the night. Split decision. A lot of people, Verk scorecard, had Cub Swanson winning. Cub outstruck him in round 1, 20-18. But in rounds 2 and 3, Andre landed more, 18-12 in round 2. And round 3 left it all out there, 31-30. 2 takedowns landed for Andre Feely. He went 2 of 11 for just under 4 minutes of control time. I mean, yeah, great win for Andre Feely. Tough loss for Cub Swanson. Cub is now at 40 years old. Andre's at 34. So they both were old. And my buddy Tyler, His mom, they were in Las Vegas for just a vacation this week, and his mom ran into Cub Swanson's trainer in the elevator, and he said Cub Swanson was going to get knocked out. I told Tyler, do not place a bet on Cub Swanson. He placed a bet on Cub Swanson and knocked out, and yeah, Andre Feely won. I just knew that would happen. Fight of the night, I don't really know why. Andre Feely, first win since December, you know, good stuff for him. Getting his first performance bonus since 2019 and his first fight of the night in his UFC career. As for Cub Swanson, you know, he's been win-loss since 2020. I mean, these two are honestly in the same career spot despite being 6 years apart. Some may stay, some may go, but I think Andre Feely versus Gene Silva could be the next fight to make if that's what they want to do. Could have, I don't even know. It was there. I didn't catch this fight, unfortunately, but good job to Andre Feely. I predicted you correctly. But our final prelim, let me tell you guys, I freaking saw this while I was driving, and oh my goodness, I almost crashed the freaking car. Excellent knockout by Joe freaking Pyfer. Puts Marc Andre Barriot out cold. Out cold. I mean, oh my goodness. Oh my gosh, a minute 25. Marc went 0-5 on his strikes for the fight. Fight lasted a minute and a half. Yeah. Joe Pyfer clips him. Marc goes down. As he's going down, Joe hits him again, and he was out cold. A sack of potatoes slopped across the ground. Marc Andre Barriot, very tough loss. Second straight loss for Marc Andre Barriot, might I add. Sad to see. Third time he's ever been finished. Third time he's ever been finished. And as for Joe Pyfer, I mean, how about you drop a decision to Jack back in February? Come back, get a performance of the night. 13-3 now is Joe Pyfer. That was his ninth career knockout. 12 of his 13 wins are by finish. Love this guy. Absolutely love this guy. And Joe, you know, he wants to work his way back. Him versus Chris Curtis, I still think is a banger fight. I mean, there's so many unranked opponents that Joe Pyfer could potentially take on. I just hope he makes the right move. But a great win for Joe Pyfer, Marc Andre Barriot. I hope you woke up. I really hope you woke up because you were sound asleep last time I was watching you. Crazy, crazy, crazy. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we got into our main card. And I'll be honest, Dana White said this perfectly. Nothing surprised him about this opening fight between Ian Garry and Michael Venom Page. Let me just tell you, Michael Page could strike. Ian Garry did not want to take on a dangerous striker, and he grappled him to a win. It was strategic. You know, it was strategic. 29-28 across the scoreboard on Michael Page. More significant strikes, 21-19. That was it. Total strikes, Ian Garry, 65-52. Ian goes 2-5 on takedowns for 7.5 minutes of control time. MVP managed to get 2 minutes of control time. Round one, I mean, literally, Michael Page landed one big shot. Ian Garry said nope and took him down for 4 minutes in round one. Crazy. Round two, MVP kept it on the feet the whole round, was able to win round two. And then round three, you know, Ian Garry landed a takedown. You know, Michael Page didn't even reverse him, just wound up in top control and lost it. And Ian Garry won this fight. Ian Machado Garry, 15-0 now. 15-0 now for the man. Can't deny him. Cannot deny him. And he is now, if I'm not mistaken, 8-0 in the UFC. Wow. 8-0, ranked number 7, just beat the number 14 guy. You know, he called out Shavkat Rakhmonov. He's making smart callouts. I personally love to see Ian Garry versus Jack Della Maddalena, or even, you know, if Bilal Muhammad loses, Bilal versus Ian Garry. But I mean, good win. There's not really much to hate on for Ian Garry here. He did what he needed to do and got the win. It was boring as all could be. He did almost get submission in round one. I won't lie. He almost had submission in round one, which would have been hype, but it happens. Michael Venom Page loses his third professional bout. He's now 22-3, and all I've seen through his first two fights is that he can't grapple. So let's reward him. How about number 9 ranked Stephen Wonderboy Thompson? Battle of strikers. Number 10 ranked Jeff Neal. Battle of strikers. All right, come on. There's no need to throw him against grapplers all the time. Let's have him fight Wonderboy Thompson while they're both still active in the UFC. MVP, I knew you wouldn't win, but you know, I think he'll be back. I think he'll be back. Ian Garry, I kind of like him. I know everyone hates him, but I kind of mess with him. Tell you who I don't mess with. The next fight, as I predicted it incorrectly, our first incorrect prediction of the night, Mara Bueno Silva letting me down again. She was supposed to be my champion this year. Turns out she sucks. Turns out Mara Bueno Silva sucks. She's a one-round fighter. As Macy Chison beats her by doctor stoppage 2 minutes into round two. Yeah, that's what happened. She took her down round two, opened a nasty gash on her head, and that was that. That was the end of the fight. Macy Chison just got her third career knockout. Absolutely incredible. Sixth career finish. And since returning from hiatus for 2 years, she's gone 2-0 with two finishes, two performance bonuses, in 2024. Macy Chiasson, how about that? Went from being in the bottom 15 to now being presumably the number 3 ranked woman in bantamweight division. Great win for Macy Chiasson. That's all I have to say. Great win for Macy Chiasson, Maribona Silva. Yeah. 2-fight losing streak, terrible. 3-fight unbeat, on winless streak, you could even argue. And gosh, my goodness, Maribel Silva, that's the first time she's ever been technically finished in her career. I mean, it's crazy, crazy stuff. Macy Chiasson will be ranked number 3. I predict she'll take on number 2, Caitlin Vieira, in the coming future, with Julia Pena taking on Hakuel Penton. As for Mayra Bueno Silva, I presume she'll be ranked number 6. You know, I'm sure she'll drop in the rankings. Her versus Kayla Harrison, we can do that. Built up Kayla Harrison some more. Tough loss. Tough loss, I'm all going to say. I'm sad I predicted that incorrectly. That's really makes me sad. And I'll tell you what else I'm sad about. So I predicted this next fight incorrectly. It's Anthony Smith. I tell you, I can never predict this guy correctly. I predict him to lose, he wins. I predict him to win, he loses. As Roman Dolidze looked like prime Manny Pacquiao on the feet against Anthony Smith. Only Anthony Smith could submit an undefeated prospect of Vitor Petrino, then get outboxed on the feet by Roman Dolidze. I mean, 100 significant strikes to 51. Smith doesn't do anything the whole fight. He gets taken down once in the second. And yeah, Dolidze boxed his way casually to a victory. It was so comical. I'm just like, what are you doing, Anthony Smith? He looked lost out there. And how about Roman Dolidze, ranked number 10 at middleweight? Just beat the number 10 guy at light heavyweight. Rank him in both weight classes. Good for him. Good for him. Took this fight on short notice. It pays off. Anthony Smith, I have no words for you at all. Roman Dolidze snaps a little 2-fight losing streak, and he lost badly earlier in February. Great bounce back. And Anthony Smith is win-loss since 2021. Oh, my goodness. I cannot with Anthony Smith. I have a love-hate relationship with Anthony Smith. But Anthony Smith can take on Carlos Ulberg, Bogdan Guskov next. I don't even care. And Dolidze, he's now ranked in both weight classes. You know, he can take winner of Alonzo Menfield and Nazmat Mirzakhanov. He could also take on Michelle Pereira. I'm kidding you not. Roman Dolidze has so many options now. And I'm kind of happy for him. He said he wants to fluctuate between weight classes. Good for you, Roman. Good for you. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we got to the co-main event. And I kid you not, this may be the... I don't even know if this has ever happened before, but if anyone had been following the event, they would have known that this fight was changed to a lightweight bout when Brian Ortega couldn't make weight. You know, he couldn't make weight. And then as it was approaching, Diego Lopez was kind of being told, okay, could this fight happen at 165? He's like... what? Like, sure. And then Brian Ortega pulls out before the fight. I don't know much details about why, but Brian Ortega out of his fight on 3 hours' notice. He was coming to this as a fan. Dan Ige steps in to take on Diego Lopez. Dan Ige, ranked number 13, taking on number 14th ranked Diego Lopez in the co-main event. And by gosh darn it, he almost pulled off an upset. I kid you not, Diego Lopez wins this fight by unanimous decision. Wasn't a fight of the night. You know, they fought like two guys who, you know, Danny Gay had been training for a fight with Chepe Mariscal coming up, and instead takes on Diego Lopez on 4 hours' notice. Might have been 3 hours, I think, 3 hours. Diego outstruck him in rounds 2 and 3, kind of used a little bit of grappling in the second, but round 3, Danny Gay came alive, you know, outstruck him, but it was too little, too late, loses 2-1, and Diego Lopez gets the job done. Diego Lopez, 25-6 now, 4-fight win streak. Great stuff. And Danny Gay, yeah, he drops this one. He's 18-8. Win-loss, but who cares? He took this fight on short notice. Absolutely incredible. Just so happy for him. So happy for him. Both of these guys, they said they want to run this back when they have a full camp. They may even main event. You know, Dana White said, I'm all for that. I still think Danny Gay, I think Danny Gay is going to be rewarded. I think Danny Gay might get, you know, fight with Josh Emmett, get rematch with Calvin Kattar, could take on Bryce, you know, a lot of guys. That's for Diego Lopez. Make Brian Ortega fight him. I know Brian Ortega might not be able to make weight, but we should give Diego Lopez a high-ranked opponent. I don't really know who, you know, because Brian Ortega, actually, now I'm thinking might be going to lightweight. But, I mean, number 4-ranked Aaron Rodriguez, if they're not boys. Winner of Arnold Allen and Giga Chikadze, Josh Emmett. I mean, sky's the limit. Diego Lopez is a star, and how about that? He's already 2-0 in the UFC in 2024. Knocked out Sadiq Youssef in a minute and a half and just beat the number 13th guy on 3 hours' notice. Good stuff. He should be ranked number 13. I'd move him all the way up to 1. All right. Diego Lopez is my number 1 contender. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we got to the main event. And, you know, this one hurt. This one hurt. Not because I don't love Alex Pereira, because I love Alex Pereira, guys. Huge Alex Pereira fan. But it's also because I'm a Jiří Procházka fan. Alex Pereira probably getting in the top five, top three knockouts of the year, finishing Jerry Brosco with a head kick in round number two. And I mean, just brutal. Just brutal. I mean, Jerry didn't even try to attempt a takedown. He got dropped. He almost got knocked out at the end with 1 second left in round number one. First 13 seconds of round two, he's read like a book, and Alex Barrera knocked him out cold with a head kick. Couple follow-up punches to give him some more brain damage. Holy cow. Alex Barrera, his ninth career knockout. Mind you, he has only won 11 fights professionally. My goodness. 9 of his 11 wins by freaking finish. Knockout. Not even submission. All knockouts. Alex Barrera, 4-fight win streak. I mean, dude has only ever lost to Israel Adesanya in the UFC. He's the face. Alex Barrera is the face of the UFC. He's replaced everyone. Incredible. I love it. Jerry Prochazka, his kryptonite is Alex Barrera. You know, his kryptonite's Alex Barrera. He's talking about retiring. He's talking about hanging it all up. I really hope that Jerry Prochazka doesn't. But just know Alex Barrera is super good, Jerry. You're losing to a guy in his prime. And gosh darn it, that's now twice, I think, actually. This is like the fourth or fifth time I haven't picked Alex Barrera. It's pretty comical. It's just because I love Jerry Prochazka. But Alex Barrera, currently the number 4 pound-for-pound guy. I think he should pass the number 3 guy, Leon Edwards, to be the number 3 pound-for-pound guy in the world. And you know what? He's the top guy. Jerry might drop in the rankings from 1 to 2. I think Magomed Ankalaev should be the number 1 contender. That's who Alex Barrera is going to take on next. As for Jerry, you know, he mentioned maybe dropping down to a middleweight, potentially. There's also a Jamal Hill fight, Nikita Krylov fight, Khalil Roundtree Jr. fight. I mean, who knows? Jerry, I love you. Alex Barrera, you're the freaking man. Poatan for life. Excellent stuff. Great way to cap off the card. Performance bonus for Alex Barrera. And yeah, if he gets one more title defense in this year, he's going to be Fighter of the Year. He's already wrapping it up, Fighter of the Year. I'm going to be honest. He's the only champion to get 2 defenses in. He's knocked out both guys in great fashion. Alex Barrera, you're a stud. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to an end of today's episode. This was fun. This was fun. Great times watching UFC. We're now sitting on the year. I wrote down somewhere. Where did it go? 163 and 106. So we're almost up 60 units, which is pretty impressive. Reading a bunch of self-help books. I'll have so many more to talk about on the future episodes. Of course, checking out WWE pay-per-views whenever we can. I'm actually going to Monday Night Raw in Minneapolis on July 29th. But yes, check out The Four Agreements. Great book. NBA Draft. Lots of big things to come for all those superstars. New fights coming in and out. We do not get another UFC event until July 13th. We don't get another pay-per-view until July 27th. So we're going to have a lot of free time to talk about things. Everyone, have an amazing week. Have an amazing 4th of July. Be safe out there. You know, don't be boozing up too much. Don't be shooting fireworks out your buddy's crotch. I don't know what I'm saying. Guys, make it the greatest day of your life. Love you all. And I'll catch you next time on the Surprise Jab Podcast. What a random ending. What a random way to end this episode.